Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
review of different types of learning and logic from someone who's really struggling to remember things. So there's sort of the ancient schools, the medieval schools, and the modern schools of logic and learning. And it's the medieval schools which I find the most, I suppose, interesting. It's interesting where we're sort of just almost groggily waking up in the medieval schools. And why I find the medieval schools is that interesting is that when you go into it, you get the full origins, the sort of the, you know, what is the origin of the word, you know, what is matter or mass. You have to look at ancient medieval thoughts and things like that to go down to it. I'm not going to discuss that now, but the medieval schools had seven schools broken into two levels. One was quadrivia and the other is trivia. And I believe trivia is rhetoric and grammar. And there was another thing in there, I've totally forgotten. Sorry, that's going to be really aggravating for you. And the four sort of hard sciences, one was music, astronomy, geometry. I really can't remember what the other one is. It's interesting, there's actually no direct study of religion, and that was a separate aspect of it. And for a long time, I suppose, in the medieval time, there was no real distinction between religious beliefs and scientific beliefs. There's sort of no solid rift. Like, religion was so all-encompassing, and even at the time of Newton still basically believed his scientific belief to exist wholly within the structure of religious belief. So that's an interesting aspect to get through. And so I'll have to go back and study that. The thing that I did read about is Theophrastus, the sidekick of, or not the post-kick, I suppose, the someone who came after, just at the same time, almost after Aristotle. So when Aristotle had to, was big, and then it was sort of like a big explosion. He was too big for his boots in Greece, too influential. Like many people who become too influential make the enemies at the wrong time. Besides the Theophrastus, and it mentioned that he worked in syllogism, and I remember I couldn't work out what the heck is syllogism. I remember it's to do with scholasticism and the medieval ancient way of thinking. And and I thought, I can't remember it. So I looked it up again. So that's what I'm going to quickly talk about this time. So syllogism fits it's a mechanism of thought which exists in those seven schools of thought. It's interesting how we see those seven schools of thought, and that music is considered as mathematical as anything else. It's pretty interesting that was the ancient thought. So syllogism is the actual saying that if all things exist, if all things are mammals, all mammals have hair, and elephants are mammals, elephants have hair. And in fact, they do. And it also goes for dolphins and everything else like that. But if statement A is true for all elements of the set B, and C is an element of the set B, then C has that truth associated with it. It's sort of like deductive machinery. Now you can imagine that syllogism in the hands of a biased person with faulty thinking could lead to all sorts of murder and all moralistic. So the upshot of syllogism is that you really required syllogistic belief, it was so shonky, in my view, that it required morals and ethics to actually rein it in. Otherwise, you could syllogistically go around and kill everybody because there's no external accountability. So syllogism stands in contrast. So that's the major way of thought. And it's amazing that people think this way, a large amount of thought we have nowadays, in fact, the majority of people's thoughts nowadays, when you come down to it, is syllogistic. You know, why am I prejudiced against this person? Why am I prejudiced? Why can't I do this? This behaviour, this sort of tribal behaviour, is syllogistic. Now, alternative to that is the inductive logic. And inductive logic really got the step up as a realisation, as a form of logic. So it was used in various bits, but inductive logic is the fundamental thing, is that there's things we know and things we don't know. And inductive logic is expanding to seeing whether this new proposition of what we don't know is worthy to be within the truth of it. So that's Francis Bacon, and he's the English lawyer, person, contemporary of Shakespeare, Renaissance thinker, who came up with this fundamental idea that I have a pool of knowledge and I have some things out, and I guess whether it's right or wrong. And inductive thinking is sort of like quality control. So I have an idea and I do quality control on it to see whether it's worthy and keep it there. And if essentially I continuously do experiments all the time, doing quality control on my system of accepted knowledge. And this is sort of the origin of science. So it's not that syllogism and inductive logic don't go together, but modern science is really based on this inductive process. So people will recognize it mostly with hypothesis. So I make a guess, and then I do quality assessment on that guess. So if the guess is a good guess, so it's a good reasoned guess. Now, a lot of people get really confused in teaching this. They think a hypothesis, you can actually use someone's making a hypothesis to examine, going in, okay, that's the end of this talk.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.